Blog Talk Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like,
praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issue Scripture Man Talk. Today is Thursday, the 5th of January, 2017, and we praise God for it. Praise God for a new year. I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. If you called in at 646-668-2636, and if you're listening online, you'd like to join the conversation tonight, you press 1 on your keypad. Also, you can always listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the archive of all our shows there. And also, you can join us. You can follow us there. Click the follow button. I believe it's on the left-hand side. And you get updates emails and Facebook notifications when we go live or download new shows. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about fasting. We have a guest coming on the line here soon. And also we're going to share also about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let us begin with prayer and the scripture. And then tonight we're going to get right into the show. Amen. Tonight I want to read from, Ephesians chapter number 4, starting at verse 1. Amen. We pray a new year is going well so far this year. We pray. A lot of you know, a lot of folk out there, in the body of Christ, we're doing the beginning of the year fasting. And we pray everything is going well with you. Pray that you are connecting with God during your time of fasting and prayer, that He can prepare your heart and mind for what's about to come for the new year and those things He's spoken to your life before the foundation of the world. Amen. So I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 1. Amen. And the Word of God says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Father God, we say thank you today. Thank you, Lord God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, God. Thank you for the sacrifice that was made, oh God. Father, even this season, oh God, as we celebrate his birth, oh God, as the baby born to a virgin, oh God, is prophesied, oh God, by your word and through your prophets, we say thank you today, oh God, for that child. God, most of all, we thank you for his life. We thank you for the sinless life that he led. We thank you, God, for his death, God, for his burial and resurrection, oh God, for the shed blood for the salvation of our souls, God. So, God, we say thank you today, Lord God. Continue to watch over those, oh God. Continue to watch and listen to this program tonight, oh God. That they might be blessed, oh God. That they might continue, oh God, in the bounds of love, God. That, God, we would look to the left and to the right, God, and know that we are our brother's keeper. We pray for strength. We pray for peace. We pray for grace, oh God. As we continue to live out lives, oh God, that are worthy to our calling, God. That we walk worthy, oh God. That people would see us, God. That we would be salt and light in this culture. In the world, oh God. Father, tonight we just want to take time out and lift up those in the church, oh God, in the body of Christ, in the church, in the church all over the world, internationally, God, those who are being persecuted for their faith, those who are being persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. We pray their strength, we pray your blessings over them. Keep them, continue to move in my life and in the lives of our people, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, tonight, again, we're going to be sharing about fasting and consecration. And we're going to be sharing with Minister Bryant, wellness coach for New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, joining us soon here. But first, we have a couple announcements, some upcoming events here for the new year. And as always, if you listen to the show here, if you're Christian Men's Talk, our passion is for men's ministry and to support men's ministries and to speak about those issues that men face as they lead in their homes, in the community, and in the church. And love their families, of their wives and their children. Amen. Well, our first one's coming up real soon. It's January the 21st, 2017. It's Men to Boys, Men's Ministry Fellowship at Jesus Lives Ministry, 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. At 10 a.m., the topic is going to be Broken Homes. And we invite you to come out there. The pastor there is Pastor George Sharps. You also can go, if you go on our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, you'll see the link there for the broadcast, for the time, I mean, and address. And as always, on the Issues Facebook page, you can reach out to us, share your upcoming men's events, and we'll post it, forward it, and encourage brothers to come out. And that's time to fellowship. Amen. Also, so we had that one on 21st, but I forgot this one. I just got a reminder of this one. We have a concert coming up. Sister Tiffany Jeffers is having a live concert for the release of her CD. Well, the CD is out. You can download it. But you can, her CD is called Say Yes. It's a concert on Friday, January the 6th at 7 p.m. And it's going to be held at the Southern Baptist Church, 1701 North Chester Street, Baltimore, Maryland. A concert is free. However, we're asking for donations of coats and blankets to be able to support outreach to the homeless here in Baltimore and this local area. So the concert is free, but we're asking that you bring a donation. Well, donations also be taken, but also that you could bring a coat or blanket to help in the ministry and outreach there. Amen. Again, that's on our Facebook page. You see the link there. You also get the link to our website. You can download it from download the CD. I believe there'll be CDs there, and all the information is there. We have a link. Amen. Amen. So tonight, I just wanted to share a little insight, because for 2017, our passion and our main focus is to be able to share the gospel. We know we have listeners who listen to the broadcast either live every Monday night at 8 p.m. or every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m., but also we have links to the podcast that we go on the internet. But what we want to do is always be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ for those who may be listening, those who might be just found our shows and want to listen in. Passionate and the most important issue that we have as Christians in duty that we're called to do is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we want to be able to share the gospel plainly and unadulteratedly, and just be able to share that what it means to be saved. What must we do to be saved? The Bible speaks about who Jesus is. I think that's the most important thing, because it's the knowledge of who Jesus is, why he was born, and that Jesus was prophesied and foreordained all in the New Testament. And why do we need Jesus? It's because of the sin of Adam. The sin of Adam is what Adam had done and what Jesus has done. With our salvation and our standing before God based on the sin and disobedience of Adam, which cast all of mankind into a sinful nature. So God provided Christ as a way out to reconcile us back to himself, and that was through the man Jesus Christ. So God wants and loves us. He wants us to have an ongoing relationship with you, one in which you both talk and listen to him, one in which you allow him to be part of your life decisions. He wants you to experience the abundant life, which he talks about in John chapter 10, verse number 10, which he knows he can found only in him. He wants you to be set free from sin, from your past, from the guilt and shame, the bondage of sin, things that are consequences of sin, our addictions, our selfishness, envy, strife, anger. These are all the things that come from sin, because that's where our flesh rises up in us. But through Christ, we can be set free from that. So God's plan was accomplished in that Jesus Christ. He came as a spotless and sinless Son of God to the earth to rescue us from sin. Because God already knew that we were going to do wrong, even in our innocence. But in that penalty for the sin that was committed in Adam and the sin that's within us was eternal separation with God. But because God loved us so much, he himself took ownership of the penalty, sent his son Jesus Christ to earth to pay the penalty for our sin. And the story, I'm going to give it the broad brush for my theologians out there, that I'm going to give it that 2-minute gospel we talk about all the time in evangelism. So he was crucified by people who didn't even understand who he was or why he was here in that first century. He had came willing to die on the cross, fulfilling God's plan of redemption for mankind, even that every person, even the people, the very people who nailed him to the cross, the Romans and church, the Jews of the Old Testament at that time, again in the first century, and we all know the Easter story, which we're a couple months away from now, but they all, that was all ordained before God. And as I always tell folk, it's just salvation, message, and redemption of mankind is there in Genesis chapter, or the gospel starts in Genesis. It's not a New Testament theory or story, but it, God made this plan from the moment that Adam sinned. Amen. But through his perfect, sinless life, because he walked this earth as the only sinless man, he was sacrificed, and he was sacrificed willingly, that he took our sins upon himself so that we might be restored in relationship with our Creator. And that's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. But the story doesn't end. It's at his death on that cross, as we know. The Bible says that just 3 days after he was crucified on the hill outside of Jerusalem, God raised him back to life. Jesus was no longer in the grave. God raised him from the dead, just as he will raise us from the dead at the close of history, at the resurrection. There's a day coming when time shall come to an end and all people will stand before God for judgment. Now, at that time, when we talk about judgment, we talk about standing before the Creator of the universe, the Creator of God, as mentioned in Genesis 1, who spoke it and all things were created. Animals, the world, light, dark, the seasons, all of creation were created by the speaking of his word. And we, as human beings, will stand before him. And without Christ, we're destined to spend eternity separate him, which the Bible calls hell. Amen. So it's not that we're sending, that God is sending us, it's us that we must be able to choose. We can either choose to accept Jesus' sacrificial death on our behalf or reject it. If you reject it, you will stand alone before God on the day of judgment and give account for our lives. Each of us will stand alone, not with our pastors, our mothers, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, our pastors, our church members, no matter what church we are part of, no matter what denomination we connect ourselves with here on earth. We will stand before God to account for our life. And if we have fallen short of God's standard, we will have to pay a penalty ourselves. But if we spend eternity in hell, but if we believe in his in the Savior, in what he had done to reconcile us back to himself, and us accepting this again, the sacrificial of Christ, the blood that was shed, that we might be reconciled, we can accept Christ as our Savior, and God will accept his sacrificial death on our behalf because he would have paid the price, the penalty, just like if anything else, if we had to pay a fine and someone paid it for us. Christ has paid that eternal fine. It's not a choice we can make on that final day. It's a choice we must make today, either to accept Christ or reject him. It's as simple as that. I mean, we there's a lot of other things and things put around it. Each of us, every man, woman, and child must be able to accept Christ. You know, and one of the things that folk always talk about is, what about those that have heard Christ? And what about, you know, if you never heard Christ or whatever? And people like to use abstract examples of people in the middle of jungles who may never heard or never had a Bible. God is in control of all that. Again, we're going to stand and God's going to judge us. He's not going to judge that. But if you're listening today, if you're listening to your Christian friends, pastor, your grandmother, your auntie, your mother, and they told you about Christ, and you still chose not to reject it, that's you hearing him, hearing about it, and you chose not to listen, obey, or even search out the knowledge for it yourself. That's what's important. Again, we can't compare ourselves to each other. We can't compare ourselves to somebody who doesn't. We have to work first about ourselves and surrender unto him to make him our Lord and our Savior. Thereby, he can be able to be, we can be used, and we would have heard, and then we could tell someone else. One of the things we always share at Men's Ministry or here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, that those of us who are saved, we're not saved for ourselves. We're saved to be able to spread the gospel to someone else who may not hear it from a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, a deacon, or bishop, or there's one life that may be saved just because you gave your life to Christ, and that person will only hear it from you. So that's one of the things, again, that I like to encourage our brothers out there, especially those in the body of Christ, that, you know, we're called to evangelize. We're called to share the gospel. Everyone's not called to preach, teach, start a church, do full-time ministry and all the other things that we get caught up into. Called as individuals, if you sit in the front pew, the middle pew, or the back pew, you need to be called to share the gospel. So that's one of the things that we just want to encourage everyone that today is to be able to share the gospel message with someone. Amen. So God loves you and wants you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Make the decision today to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And it's very simple. You come to Him as you are. Don't wait till you try and get yourself good and get yourself cleaned up. And you know, I always hear folks, when we talk to unbelievers, that they know, they recognize their sin. It's funny how we all can recognize our sin. And then when we minister folks, they want to get themselves open before they come to the church. I always say, come as you are. Stand before God, hear the gospel, and then come and accept Him. And He'll change you from the inside, not the outside, because it's not the outside thing. When you stand before Him, He's not going to check your suit, and your shoes match, and your socks match, and your tie goes with the handkerchief. And for the sisters, to make sure you got the right dress on, you ain't got too much cleavage, and the dress is long enough. That's not what He's looking at. He's looking at your heart and your mind, that you believed that you believed in His Son. The next thing is, we must be able to admit that we are sinners. That means confess. Confess that we are sinners, understand we are sinners. Be willing to turn from our sin. And for my folk out there, Christian, that means to repent. Turn around, turn away from the life we were living before to live a life that is pleasing and obedient to God. Believe in our heart and our mind that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for you and was raised back to life, and accept Him as the only way to God. This is what we have to do in our hearts, in our minds. This is where we all, if you're unsaved and the folk that you know that go to church or got religion or whatever other way you want to put it, this is what they believe. They believe who Jesus says He was in the Word of God. And that we must do, each of us, and you especially, if you have not accepted Him. And again, when we say pray, then pray and invite Him. Invite Christ to come into your life. Open your heart, open your mind, that you might be saved and have the remission, have your sins taken away and covered in His blood, and make Him your personal Savior. It's a very simple thing. I know a lot of folk have a little formats and formulas and prayers that they take, but it's, again, it's a heart and a mind thing. It's accepting, it's believing. Because once you believe and confess with your mouth that Jesus, that God sent Christ to die for you, you are saved. You'll be connected in eternity and be in His presence when you pass. And then the process starts that we encourage you to find a church, a home, find a church, a Bible study, to attend some Christian folks. And one thing about Christianity is a religion where you can go and ask questions. It's not something just must take it. Take it and swallow it and ask no questions. I always encourage folk that who give their life to Christ, new believers, to attend, find a church with a solid Bible study where you can go and ask questions, the answers that you need, have you get the Bible, and begin to read and let Scripture and let the Word of God teach you. Amen. Well, that's my, let me see, how long was that? That was my 10 minute salvation. Amen. And then we should all be able to do that. One of the things we encourage for men here, a Christian Men's Talk for this 2017 is one thing, that we would share the gospel with at least one person face to face every month. Amen. Amen. You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Dr. Thomas Farr. If you called in at 646-668-2636, press 1 on your keypad and we could bring you to the conversation. You could share tonight your insights and thoughts. We encourage you to join us. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to take a short break here, and I'm going to play some music for a quick moment. We take a short break as we reach out and begin to get ready for our next segment. So just hold on here. We have a little, who are we going to play? We have Donnie McClurk in here. I'm going to give a couple minutes of Donnie McClurk, and we'll be right back.
Heaven could be wonderful, very beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural, special place.
And whenever I need him.
Hello, Brother Brian. Can you hear me, sir?
I'm trying. Can you hear me?
I got you now. There you go. Amen.
Appreciate
we're live. You know, sometimes we have some technical support, so we're here. I have you live now. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Deacon Farr. How are you today?
Good, good. Excellent. Thank you for joining us tonight. We had a little stuck here running on the switchboard, but we're good. We're good. So we're live this evening. Again, well, brother, welcome. Welcome. Well, let's start with the beginning. Introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us who you are and your ministry and what we're going to talk about tonight.
Okay. My name is Minister Brian Bordley. I'm a minister of wellness with New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders underneath of Apostle Etta Banks out in Woodlawn, Maryland. I'm also Black Professional Men Wellness Chairman. I'm the wellness chairman for the committee that they have on health and wellness. Been teaching health and wellness for the last 20 years, and we're starting to really understand it's time to make a change in the kingdom. Amen.
Amen, sir. Amen.
Tonight,
well, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, tonight we're going to start at the beginning of the year. We have a lot of focus starting on fasts. We're going to start their fast for the new year. So tonight we want to bring you in and talk about what a fast is and some of the things that we just give it take some time and to encourage folk and give them some insights and details about the benefits of fasting and what we should be doing. So first, I know you
gotcha.
It's called the spring cleaning, even though it's January. So let's start with the fasting consecration. What is it?
Well, fasting was something that early in biblical days people did when they were petitioning God for something, for an answer. They came corporately together, and it's something we've kind of walked away from as this new Christian. Fasting was setting aside your plate and setting aside certain meals so that you could gain a higher frequency of understanding God and communing with Him. And that's where fasting came from.
Okay, well, why do we do it, and what are some of the benefits?
Okay, we fast now for a couple reasons. As Christians, it helps us to get closer to God. It helps us to repent before God. It helps to feel God's presence closer. It allows us to confess our sins, and sometimes we are fasting before God to get a petition from God heard so that He'll come on our defense. Some of the benefits of fasting were just trying to understand God on a different level. We sometimes don't take enough time Monday through Sunday to talk to God. We talk when we get into service, but we never talk that Monday through Saturday. You know, and if we do, it's a, hey, God, good morning or good night, and that's it. And that's not enough time to put a relationship together. And it's the first part of the year, and it's time to create a deeper relationship. If this was a marriage, your union would be kind of rocky because Monday through Saturday, you don't commune with me. You only talk to me on Sunday. So that would mean I need to take a different approach to have a stronger love relationship with you. And that's what fasting does.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this, sir, because, you know, it's the beginning of the year. Do you think it's important that we fast at other times besides the beginning of the year? Would it be beneficial on a spiritual level that we would set aside monthly fast? I know folks that that do monthly fasts, you know, the third week or the third weekend or the third week of the month or the second weekend of the month. And I'm talking personal because I understand congregational. I understand coming together and being on one accord as a local body and congregation. But what do you think is it's important that we get into a habit individually or even for our brothers out there, being that this is just Christian Men's Talk, that we lead our children, and we lead our families in a fast. Amen. Oh, wait a minute, I think we lost the brother. Well, we're going to wait for him to call back in, and you're going to bring him back in. But it's one of the things that we always talk about here at Issues, is that men are leaders of their homes, in the community, and in the church. And I think it's important for the brothers out there that we take a time out and lead our families in the past throughout the year. You know, because this congregation is fine. I understand that. I understand talking and setting a vision and a mission for our local ministries and coming together and praying on one accord, but also as husbands and fathers, we should lead our families in that fast and teach our children what it means to fast. Again, we are called to be the pastor and the priest in our homes. Pastor Brian, are you back, sir? Yep, I think I got you back. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I have you, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
We got you back here. We have some technical issues and challenges here. I think that's, because we're touching on something here, and the enemy's trying to prevent this knowledge to go out, because it's all about serving and witnessing to God. Amen. So I was talking about that as husbands and fathers and leading our family, and how important it is to have our children join in and understand what the fast is. What do you think, sir?
I agree. From a spiritual family position, I teach my daughter, who's 8 years old, why we fast. We fast to hear from God. We fast to get rid of some of that junk out that we collected in our bodies over the course of last year, 2016. We fast to gain more focus. We fast to hear what God wants us to do in our assignment. And as her father leading her, I want her to be able to understand, if you can fast and take something out of your day-to-day that you're used to having, then when life becomes hard, you're able to handle that pressure. Amen.
Amen, amen, sir. And again, we have to, you know, the scripture talks about raising up our children and the way they go, and this is part of it, that we can understand what a fast means, because we never know what God has planned for our children, that they learned how to put aside something. They learned that there's a time to sit and be quiet, just like anything else in the natural. Our children, as they grow, we have to teach them what it means to sit down and in quietness as we train them up and they go into the school and different other events. And even in the church, they have to learn to take time and just in the quietness. And I think fasting is an opportunity to teach them that. Amen. So now we're going to talk about some of the natural benefits of fast and that cleansing part and trying to get the junk out. We're going to talk about that a little bit in detail. So getting the junk out, let's talk about detoxification, the benefits, and one of the things that we can do in this fast, in the beginning of the year fast, and also, even like I say, all throughout the year. Detoxification, sir, what does that mean?
Okay. Detoxification is the understanding that from 2016, including those holidays where everybody ate whatever they wanted to eat, you've got to get that sludge out of your body. We've talked in previous interviews about how much actual waste sits in your colon on an average holiday meal. And some of us don't move on a regular. So that means, to be clear, we eat almost a pound of food at any given setting. If that pound of food only comes out 8 ounces on the other end, then you've stored 8 ounces on the inside of you. And that collects 3 times a day we eat, 7 days a week. By the end of that week, you've almost collected 10 pounds worth of fecal matter, and don't understand why you're more lethargic, why you're tired, why you don't have the energy or the pep you used to have. So spring cleaning and getting out the junk is us trying to, one, stop eating meat, because that breaks down our digestive energy that can be used to clean our bodies, to heal our bodies, to fight the diseases that we may have currently. So we try to detox. I put a product in all my clients that helps them detox. It's relatively very inexpensive, but it's a great product across the board for a lot of people. And the fecal matter comes out like you would never believe. On top of that, we go through the Daniel's fast, and I've added some things and I've taken some things out to create a better protocol to see bigger results after the end. And we do 45 days, not necessarily 20.
Amen, amen. So I want to go back to, you know, when we talk about fasting, I know we do different kinds of fasts. I'm going to come back to that later. But when we're doing the fast, and is it beneficial that we take on a fast that we want to also take this opportunity, I believe, that we can change our diet. There's some stuff that we need to stop eating altogether, and we need to really change our diet habits. And I think that during fast, especially at the beginning of the year, or, you know, quarterly, we can look at what we've been taking in and on purpose change our diet. And how important is that to try and improve our lives? And what do you think, sir?
It's very important. One of the things that fast does to your physical side, it resets your clock. But the funny thing about the body is your internal clock needs a length of time to reset. I tried to do it in 20 days and it didn't work. When I extended the fast to 45 days, diabetes went the other way. High blood pressure went the other way. Arthritic conditions went the other way. And it started to make more sense to me because I was not only cleaning out my body, but I stopped eating meat. We don't understand how much energy it takes to break down a meat diet. But when you go vegetarian, your body is able to break down plant foods so fast and easy, and that's what speeds that metabolism up. That's what speeds that weight up, weight loss. That's what speeds your energy up. And from there, you find I got more strength when I'm on this side of the fast than when I'm not doing the fast. I've got more focus and concentration. I don't have migraines and headaches. All of those are systematic signs that your body does not like your diet currently. And when you take those things out, your body starts to heal. We stopped doing cigarettes in January. We stopped tobacco. We stopped everything for these 45 days. And even for my married couples, I try to instruct them to be abstinent for 45 days. Once you take out the intimacy of sex, communication becomes even greater. We go back to courting, back to dating, back to really loving who you marry. And you need that self-analysis for those 45 days to also get a game plan. Where are we going? What we're doing? What's our future going to look like 5 to 10 years from here? Can we plan for a vacation this year? So there are other components to this that I've included in this protocol. Amen.
Amen, brother. You just got their attention. They're awake now. They're listening to what you're saying because nobody wants to talk about taking this abstinence fast in a married couple. Amen. So now I have your attention, brothers. You have to consider. I know that you're right. You're right. We have to take time out to hear and see what's going on around our life, and I believe a fast does that. It's seeking God. It's speaking to God. It's looking and evaluating ourselves because, again, if we get caught up in the rat race of this world, the rat race, even in the church and in ministry, we can get caught up with a lot of doing, being, doing, where we don't really take time to hear what God is saying. Even in the midst of all that we're doing. We don't have to say that we're not doing those things that God wants us to do, but even in that midst, we get caught up in trying to make deadlines and accomplish so many things that we forget, and especially when it comes to our marriages. I'm glad you threw that in there, brother, because that's one of the things we have to. If our marriages are not strong, you know, and the church is not going to be strong. You know, if we have these conflicts in our homes and in our family, it's going to reflect in the church. So I believe that's, you know, you're right with this fast. Because there's some of the things that we have to take care of that are not spiritual. that are temporal, and that relationship and husband-wife relationship is important, and even the relationship between our children and what's going on. Because, you know, some of us have our children in everything and everywhere and playing all kinds of stuff, and then there's no quiet self-evaluation. So we definitely encourage your brothers there and the husbands and fathers to take these times of fasting to look at the natural, look at the temporal. Again, we're called to be the leaders in our home, and sometimes to lead, we have to see where are those that we're leading, where they're at, and where we want to go. Amen? So I thank you for that. I thank you for that unction of the Spirit to bring that, to throw that in there, because when we talk about fast, you know, you're right. People talk about fasting a whole lot of stuff, but they don't talk about what to do in that time. When you remove something from your life, what are you doing with that time now that you're not spending eating and other things? Amen? Well, let's talk about the timing of how we eat. Sometimes, some of us eat breakfast, some of us eat lunch, some of us eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some of us eat one big meal in the morning, or then we eat one big meal at night, or, you know. How is it important for our bodies to, again, which we were talking about before, about digesting our food, the timing of the time slots of when we're eating?
What we found out was your body has a cycle. It's just how life is. And understanding that your body has an internal clock. It knows what it needs when it needs it. The problem is we fed it wrong for many, many years, which led us to disease. So what I found out was from 4 in the a.m. to 12 in the afternoon, you're only supposed to consume fruit and vegetables. So the question is why? When you wake up, the first thing the body wants to do is eliminate, get rid of all the sludge from yesterday. Fruit and vegetables help the process of elimination. It helps to put the minerals and vitamins, one, that you need first thing in the morning to move this body. Second, it needs some vegetables to some degree, whether you make a smoothie first thing in the morning or you eat some leafy green vegetables, don't really care. But that helps to give your stool fiber. That's very important. Without those two elements, most people don't really move first thing in the morning. Secondly, by eating a meat or a protein first thing in the morning, you're actually shutting your body into a stagnant place, meaning your body can't get up, get dressed, take a shower, run to work, deal with traffic, and then start working hard, because you've made the digestive system do something it wasn't designed to do first thing when it wakes up. So meat becomes a sluggish piece. We've ate a big breakfast, 4 eggs, 5 pieces of pork, bacon, sausages, toast, applesauce, orange juice. Your body doesn't want to move. You've now made it so full, it's sluggish. The metabolism is sluggish. Nothing in your body is moving like 93 octane. You're moving like you're on kerosene. So what we're trying to get people to understand is by eating early in the morning, whatever time you wake up is fine, but try to make a smoothie first thing in the morning. Get those minerals and vitamins in as best as possible first thing in the morning. Midday, you're up. Your energy is up, but your focus should be coming down because your blood sugar should be dropping. That's the time we add in meat and protein. Your biggest meal needs to be lunch. It's going to carry you through that down period. For most diabetics, between 2 and 7, that's our down period. Your blood sugar is starting to dwindle. Your numbers are dropping. You need something to sustain you evenly without spiking you up and dropping you down and crashing. So we found that most protein still breaks down the glucose. But if I add protein and vegetables at lunchtime, I have a more sustained sugar that will give me enough energy to get to dinner. Dinner should be your lightest meal of the day. You can still eat meat, but you cannot consume meat after 7 o'clock.
Brother, amen. Hey, again, you listen to Issues Christian Minister. We're here with Brother Minister Brian. He's the wellness coach at New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders in the Wellness Ministry here, and he's sharing some insights on, during this time of fasting, that we can change our eating habits, that we can do some things different after we come out of the fast. You know, you may be doing a fast. You may be doing a fast that you don't eat, you know, all day. You're not eating until 6 p.m., or you may be doing a liquid fast, whatever fast. And he talks about the Daniel fast. We're going to come back to that in detail in a little bit. But whatever we're doing, there's two things that we have to look at. If we're fasting from certain things, why do we need to bring them back into our life? We talked about red meat. We talked about some of the things that we might give up in the beginning of the year, all those foods that we shouldn't be eating. But now when we off the fast, if we could give them up for these 21, 20, 45, 30 days, however long your consecration fast is, what about the rest of the year? Are we looking to have long-term health benefits? Because even if you're in a fast, you should see some physical changes in your body. Things will start doing different. That bowel movement will change a little bit. Your urine might turn from bright yellow to it might clear up a little bit. So you'll see some physical changes that we have to pay attention to, which tells us that we may be doing something good for our body that we need to continue on. Because, again, we're responsible for our bodies, for our souls, but also the health of our bodies. And it begins, for a lot of us, it begins in what we eat. Amen. One of the things that I wanted you to share, brothers, about, you know, our blood pressure and glucose levels and how we should check those. I'll put it this way. We all don't have diabetes. And we all don't have high blood pressure. For those of us who do, I know you've been to your doctor. Your doctor's given you instructions. My first thing to you is be obedient. But now, for those of us who may not have it, or even that we're getting a little older now, important is it to check our blood pressure and our glucose levels. And how often should we do that? What do you say, sir?
Well, we've learned that blood sugar and blood pressure changes over the course of your life. The more sedative that you become as you become older, those numbers will increase because your diet never changed over the course of your life, and that's the problem. When you're in your 20s and 30s, your current diet matched your metabolism. But in your 40s and 60s, your current diet doesn't match your activity level, and that's when we find blood pressure, diabetes, which are the precursors that other diseases are going to come. It's just a matter of time. So if we interrupt our diet, our lifestyle, and we make a 45-day change, I'm only asking for 45 days, we can turn back the hands of time to diabetes, hyperglycemia, cancer, arthritis, high blood pressure, asthma, many other diseases, heart disease. I found out studying the Bible, Hippocrates was the father of medicine. And back in those biblical days, they used fasting to cure so many ailments. Because the moment you stop doing the poison, the body starts to clean and heal. So if you've got skin issues, those breakouts, and acne will start to be corrected. When you stop putting so much dairy in your body, asthma disappears. Your lungs become clearer. They're no longer mucus lined. So trying to get us, now that we're on the other side of 40, to understand the disease you have currently is because your diet never changed. Fasting changes your diet. Fasting tells your body, I believe in you. Finally, I hear you. For the last 40 years, you never heard your body unless the doctor told you you needed medicine or it's time for surgery. You rarely heard it. But fasting tells you, I hear you. I hear that I don't want blood pressure medicine, HCTZ, fluid pills. I don't want that stuff. I don't want to be addicted to 12 medications at 70 years old. But if you don't put in any intervention, that's where you will be. Those little signs become big signs. It's just a matter of time. So as you were saying, when we pull out certain meats, the body gets leaner extremely fast. Most of my clients that go through this 45 days and follow my protocol lose anywhere from 10 to 40 pounds. Men lose weight faster than women. Unfortunately, that's what it is. But they lose weight. Then the question is, why would you go back on a poison that puts you where you were before the fast? The reason I did the 5 days is because I had to find out how long does it take a habit to be broken. And 45 days is what it takes. So those snacks, those potato chips, the cookies, all that junk food you ate before the fast, after those 45 days, you will learn you don't need that, and I can replace the sweet tooth by vitamins, minerals, fruits, and other things. I can even show you how to cook desserts that are healthy, sweet, and nutritious, that don't have the junk food assimilations to it.
Amen. 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 So we have to know that, you know, sugar is addictive. Sugar is addictive as anything else out here, but that's a whole other discussion right there. But amen, amen. Well, I want you to, I'm going to take a little quick break here. I want to share some information with the brothers who are listening here, and this is Christian Men's Talk. But I want you to get your information. You have some upcoming events and some other things. And also I want you to share how folks can reach out and get in contact with you if they want to attend one of your events or your sessions and the things you have coming up here in the near future. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Ball. We're here with Minister Bryant Boyer. Borley. He's a wellness coach and the Minister of Wellness at New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders with the pastor, the Apostle Etta Banks. And we're going to continue to talk a little bit. He's going to share how he's contact with you tonight. But with the brothers out here, I just wanted to share one of our challenges, agenda items for 2017 at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And we're asking every husband, every father, every son, every man, and every brother in 2017 to accomplish six things, to set out to accomplish six things they would focus on his faith. The first is to share the gospel to one person face-to-face every month. I know we have the technology now. We can reach people. We can Facebook people, Instagram people, text people. You know, we can reach people a lot of different ways with the technology and the app on our phones, depending, you know, how the greater the phone you have, again, especially if you upgraded from a flip phone. However, the gospel is meant to be shared face-to-face, one person at a time. So we're challenging your brother to at least share the gospel with one person every month for the year of 2017. Because we're called to sow seeds. I believe it's in Mark chapter 4. We talk about the parable of the sower and the good ground. We pray that God will set the ground, but we have to, as his people, as his ambassadors in the world, that we are called to be salt and light. So we have to be sowers of seed. So we're challenging every brother that's listening, every husband, father, son, every man, and every brother to be able to sow seed of the gospel. So wherever you are, at work, on the street, in the store, you know, whatever, however you feel comfortable in that gospel and spreading the gospel. It could be good, it could be tracts, it could be talking to folk, you know, just walking up to folk, sharing the gospel, inviting them to your church. But do something to at least one person that you can share the gospel with every month. The second one is to be discipled or mentored by a man. We all need someone in our life, someone to disciple us, to mentor us, to hold us accountable. Another man, we have to be our brother's keeper. And to do that, we have to be discipled and mentored ourselves. We have to be in a place, in a relationship where there's someone in our life who's going to encourage us, support us, hold us accountable, and push us even in our weaknesses. You know, we at the beginning of the year, and if anybody, if anybody looks back on the last year, there was time that you got discouraged, you had doubt, there was things coming at you that you didn't know what you was going to do, and to have those around you can uplift you and keep you on focus and on task is very important. So look for a disciple, look for a mentor. And again, we talk about this, but it doesn't, and sometimes we have to be, you know, transparent. And it may not be our pastor. It may not be an elder. It just may be another man. That's why it's important that we surround ourselves with those, with a brethren, with some men that's around us, some godly, grounded, rooted men. If we, if in our marriages, if we're married, we around a married couple. We married, we around a brother who loves his wife and is committed to his marriage that can help us if something happens. If we're single, that we're hanging around some single brothers who are not out here womanizing and chasing every woman in the church or doing things in their personal life, and they just come to church on Sunday, but they've been running the streets all week. Amen. I'll just leave that right there. Again, that's going to be another show for the 2017. Amen. Also, that we as for the mature and rooted and grounded, that we're happy, we're married, we're single, we're committed, we're content. We have to be able to disciple another brother. So one of you, our third thing is to disciple a man. Look around. See who needs discipling. It could be a young man. It could be a young man. It could be someone younger in the faith. It could be someone who, you know, he may have helped you once, but now you're willing to support and help him through issues. Because his circumstances of life always change. So who are we discipling? And also in that reaching one person with the gospel, that we might have to come alongside a new believer, a person who's struggling. Because, again, there's folk out here, we're talking, you know, 30 and 40 years, and if they hear the gospel, they're going to need to be discipled and be able to work this thing out through their process of sanctification. And we need to be the men that stand beside them and help them. It's not that we're looking for something. It's not that we're looking to get something back from them, but we're just being come alongside and help them through the process of what God's going to do in their life. Amen. The next one is to build a new friendship. Again, in the body of Christ, we get stuck, we get in ruts, we get into habits, we get into cliques, we get into a lot of things. And we haven't reached out and made a new friend, even in the body of Christ, in the last 10 years. If you look around you, the people that you've been around 10, 15 years, and so you're comfortable. You don't even go out and try to build friendships with new people, even in our churches. One of the things we talk about in our churches, we have visitors come to our thresholds every week. Are we reaching out to build new relationships and friendships with our visitors? You have people who come into the church for whatever reason. You know, someone else could have invited them. But are we showing ourselves friendly to start to build those new relationships? Again, we are to grow a church. We are to minister. We are to reach out and make people feel comfortable when they come into the body and even when we visit our churches. I know every pastor listening to me knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because I've been in different places where I've served as in ministry from video and audio, and you sit there and you booth at the end of the service and you see it. They congregate and they gravitate to the same people every week, and you see visitors or people or even strangers who no one talks to them as they walk out the door. No one has greeted them. And then I talk about the greeting that we do in our services. Until at the end of the service, we all got gravitating. There's always something business that people have the same groups congregate together, and they don't reach out and talk to anybody else that might have been in the service. So that's one of the things we have to do. Look to build a new friendship in 2017. Amen? Amen. Next one, again, this goes back to discipling, but mentoring. Mentoring a man is not in our bloodline. We all have a passion to mentor those, our sons, our nephews, our cousins, you know, folk in our bloodline, but try to mentor a stranger. And that goes back to our first one, to spread the gospel to one person face-to-face every month and become that person's mentor. And now for to do that, we want the brothers to understand that you have to be in a place where you know what you believe and why you believe it, that you can help someone else along. I'll leave it right there. And then we talk about prayer. Our prayer is for Jesus to use us to grow others. And we encourage you to search the scriptures. Every scripture we have that one another in the verse. These are what we should be doing as the body of Christ. We are the church. We have to start being the church and let Jesus use us to build his church. So those are the things that we're calling and we're challenging brothers to do who listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We encourage you to take that part of your life. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You can always listen to the rebroadcast and archive of all our shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Or you can contact us on the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. And we'd love to connect with you. If you're having a men's event coming up in the year, please send it to us. We'll post it. We'll encourage it. We'll announce it here on the show. So, again, I just wanted to thank all those faithful ones who listened to me and supported me and the pastors. It is a lot. It will come on into the interviews with us. We want to thank them for last year, and we look to do more in 2017. Okay, Minister Bryan, sir, please share how people can get in contact with you, share your upcoming events, and then when you get at the end of that, then you can close us out in prayer. Share with the audience your information and upcoming events.
Sure. You can reach me 443-540-9034 is my direct line. You can text me information. Facebook, TB7 Wellness Coach. Instagram, TB7 Wellness Coach. YouTube, TB7 Wellness Coach. Email, TB7 Wellness Outreach Ministry at gmail.com. I'm available. Whatever I can help the body do, I'm available. If you need speakers for health and wellness at your church, I'm available. If you want a health and wellness sermon, I'm available. I'm trying to get this information to stop the kingdom from dying. And it only happens when I have access to reach a broader medium of people at one time. But give us a call. We've got a fitness boot camp coming up on the 28th. I'll post that flyer to Deacon Farr's website so that you can find it there. But it's also on my Black Professional Men Facebook page as well. We've got a wonderful BPM gala event coming up on February the 4th. That's on BlackProfessionalMenInc.org. You can find that as well if you want to come and learn about mentorship, if you want to learn about how to put something back into your community, that's where you would show up. It's a formal night down at Reginald Lewis Museum. Come out and have some fun. We're going to be doing a 5K race May the 20th at Drew Hill Park. You can find more information on that as well. But it's a lot of stuff coming up. Just give me a call. Even if you don't want to do the wellness, just give me a call so I can give you some activities that may be nice for you and the family to do. Amen. We can close out now, Dr. Farr?
Yes, sir. Close out in prayer, sir. And I appreciate you, brother, for taking time and coming on the show and sharing this information. And I pray that, you know, someone hears something that will change their life. Go ahead, sir.
I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for all the opportunities you gave me in 2016. And just the connecting of this was just God sent. So I thank you for the timing. And I just thank you for opening the door to allow Black men to hear health and wellness from a different perspective than what doctors dish out. So, Father God, we come before you now and say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the words that you've given me today. Allow it to bless someone, open somebody's mindset, change some comfort factors, Lord. And for those that needed comfort, allow those words to give them some reprieve and some peace to know that they're on the right path. Thank you today, Lord, for just the opportunity to be heard. And most importantly, Lord, thank you and bless Deacon Farr for this outlet, this venue, Lord. It's opened the doors for so many individuals. And I just thank you for giving us the airways to speak, Lord, and give your words to his people. Now, I thank you for a wonderful evening. And just be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you, sir. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Amen. Bye-bye.